Thank you for listening to Gray Matters Short Takes. Let's take a look at Matthew 19, where a young man asks Jesus life's most important question when he says, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" Jesus responds, "Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor." This response seems a little bit weird, almost at odds with what the rest of Scripture says about salvation. Did Jesus say this man needed to be generous to inherit eternal life? Wouldn't that be a work?
So you want to read that scripture, starting with verse 14?
Sure.
Okay.
This is verse 16 in Matthew 19. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these things I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
All right, there's our context. And your question specifically is this talking about a salvation by works?
Right.
In other words, is this young man, Jesus saying to him, "Hey, you're going to get saved if you take all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me." There's a couple things that are really important, I think, in this narrative is that the man comes and says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And so he's seeking assurance that he's right enough with God to have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Jesus, who seems to read hearts really well, he brings it down to the focus of this young man's real need. And he says, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" The guy says, "What good thing must I do?" So he's the one that has the idea,
right,
that I get saved by good things that I do. Jesus is then challenging him, pushing back and saying, why you ask me what's good? In other words, are you determining what's good? Or does God get to determine what's good? And there's only one who is good. Only God determines what's good. Only God determines what's good enough for you to have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And guess what, rich young ruler? It's nothing that you consider good. It's nothing that you say, "Hey, if I do this, it's good enough. I deserve, I've earned my place mm-hmm. in heaven." And so Jesus is challenging him there, and he says, "Hey, but if you think that it's based upon your works, then if you want to enter life, obey the commandments." The commandments were given not so that we would obey them. The commandments were given because we cannot obey them,
yeah.
And they point out that we're sinners, right?
Right.
And so what Jesus is saying to the man is, okay, if you think that the commandments are going to get you into everlasting life, into heaven, let's start going through the commandments and see if you have kept every one of them. And so Jesus starts through. Man says, "Okay, hey, I'm pretty good. Which ones?" Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, honor your father. He goes on through, and he goes through, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the young man evaluates himself and says, "All these I've kept. What do I still lack?"
He knows he lacks something.
He knows he lacks something. There's something about working as hard as we can work to be good and do good and not do evil, and we still know when we face God that it's not enough. Mm-hmm. Because God is holy. God is perfect love. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And you could say, well, I've got a whole lot of light in me, but there's some darkness hidden away in there somewhere, a few shadows. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, and note, there's the word perfect there, that tells us what the qualifications are for going to heaven.
Perfection.
Perfection. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. So we could get to heaven by following the Ten Commandments perfectly for our entire lives.
Absolutely.
Never, ever failing.
Absolutely. Every commandment, including love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
And love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So if we did all that perfectly, then we would get to go to heaven.
We deserve it.
I wonder if anyone ever did that.
One person.
Yeah. That's the point,
yeah.
I guess, that Jesus is making there. He still lacks something. He said, if you want to be perfect, the word is teleos in the Greek. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I performed perfectly. Mm-hmm. What it means is that I have arrived to the place where I am functioning as I can function for the purpose that I have. And so the only way that's possible for us as sinners to be perfect is to be made righteous by Christ. Jesus said to him, I'll tell you what. And I think this guy could have been one of the 12 apostles. I think there's a good indication here that this may have been a guy that could have been one of the 12, because he said, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. That's why he said, Peter, come follow me. That's why he said, yeah, come follow me. So he could have been one of the 12, and understand that the apostles were not called at the beginning of Christ's ministry. It was a process of 2.5 years. Some of the apostles were only disciples of Jesus for 6 months during that time. They didn't just all come as a bunch. Right. And so this could have been one that Jesus would have called that. And then it's interesting because when the young man heard this, he went away sad. I mean, he wasn't angry about it. He recognized that what Jesus said was valid, that for him to have everlasting life, he must take all that he had, give it away to the poor, and follow Jesus. And he wasn't willing to pay that price. Because, it says right here, he had great wealth. So here's where the young man was looking at. If I can do, and I can do, and I can do, and I can do, but I can also keep my great wealth, my comfort, my security. For me to give everything away is to give up on that, to leave my faith in all those things, to follow Jesus. Hey, the guy doesn't even have a house. The guy doesn't even have an income. The guy doesn't even have hardly any clothes. He's always seems to be rattling people up and getting in trouble. For me to follow him is to leave the security that I have. I don't think that's a requirement for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think it was a requirement for this young man because he had great wealth. And
it was his backup plan.
That's right. And Jesus recognized that and challenged him on it and said, if we were to ask the same question of Jesus and we were to tell him how good we were, I think he would be able to pinpoint very quickly the very thing that you and I default to and say, well, instead of Jesus, I'm going to put my faith in this. Whatever that could be.
Right.
And so it's interesting because even though it can appear on the surface that Jesus is saying your salvation comes through your good works, he's actually saying the exact opposite to this man. He's saying you own nothing and you can do nothing to inherit eternal life. You simply have to take all your faith out of that and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer is the opposite of what it could appear to with that. The disciples are bewildered by the whole message, by the whole encounter. They're like, what? You know, how can that be? And Jesus, again, reaffirms the point. Yeah, it's impossible. I mean, you want to put a camel through the eye of a needle? No, because it won't work. It won't happen. Okay, that's why you got to trust in God. With God, all things are possible. So he gives that message to the young man, and then in a more general way to the disciples, it's the same message. Is you got to give everything to Jesus because he's the only one who can get it done.
Good. All right. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you for listening to Gray Matters Short Links.